It is my pleasure now to bring to the front, I said this at the 8 o'clock, you know, we make jokes about titles, and sometimes we call Tom, I know him as Tom, but sometimes we'll call him the Most Right Reverend Thomas Massey. So let me introduce to you the Most Right Reverend Tom Massey.
Where's Pastor Bob? Pastor Bob calls me the reverend, and I tell him, no, it's the most reverend, because you can't get any more than most, right? Anyway, that's just a joke. The Lord put on my heart for today that he wants to encourage the body to move more in the Holy Spirit. You know, we need the Holy Spirit, the power of God to do all the work of the ministry, the power of God to walk with him. We need the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it on our own. We need that power. And so we need revival, in a sense, you know. We all do. I do. I need revival. It's funny, this past week, I was sleeping, and I had this dream, and I didn't recognize it as anything for a few days after till I thought about it. And people were asking me the question, have you read Charles Finney? And I vaguely remembered who Charles Finney was. I said, well, this is still in the dream. Yeah, I think I read something about him many, many years ago. but I don't really remember who he is or where he was or anything like that. And so days later, it occurred to me, hey, maybe the Holy Spirit's talking to me. Hello? Sometimes I need a little shaking to realize that's the Holy Spirit. But anyway, so I said to Mary, you know, did we ever have any books on Charles Finney? And she says, yeah, I think we have some, she says, yeah. So I went and looked for them, and I found like three or four books right on one of our shelves from Charles Finney. And Charles Finney was a preacher. Well, actually, he started out in law. Yeah, so he was familiar with covenants, and he was like a law assistant or something in upstate New York, right up near Rochester, up that way, and I guess from his training in law, he began to look at the Word of God, he began to apply some of the principles that he found in law. Into the Word of God, and the intensity with which he examined the Word, and so he became, you know, from just being a law assistant, he never went to seminary or anything, and he was dealing with a lot of people that were well trained, like in the schools of ministry in Princeton, New Jersey, was a big place for that, but he didn't have any of that, so. He was like you or I, but as he got into the Bible, and he began to realize that the power of the Holy Spirit, and how, you know, we need a revelation from the Holy Spirit in order to see things really happen, and that really our lives as Christians need to be a supernatural walk with God, not just a religion or a mental assent to a set of ideas or rules, but we need to have a revelation from the Holy Spirit. And it's funny, I was just counseling a gentleman, a Jewish man, this past Friday, and he was very set in his ways, very, very controlled kind of person. And it was like I couldn't move him off where he was in any way, shape, or form. But the Holy Spirit rose up in me and actually used the very thing that he was to show him and to give him a revelation that he was a sinner. He needed to be convicted of sin. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't my role. I didn't set out to do that, but I was showing him how the Spirit of God was showing me that his stubbornness and his unwillingness to receive Christ for so many years, even though he had actually gone to churches and he had looked at the scriptures, and I had talked to him some years back, and God did it right then, and he opened his heart to the Lord and prayed and received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And he broke down and admitted that his stubbornness and that control was the reason why his first marriage failed. So God just brought him to his knees. But I see that like in Charles Finney's writings where the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. Now, it wasn't, brutal sin or anything like that, but the need for Christ, the need for the Savior. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He convinces us or convicts us or gives us that revelation that the thing that we're so stuck on. I mean, this guy was saying, this is me. You can't change me. This is who I am. And the Holy Spirit showed him, no, that's not who you are. That's what you're doing, and it's sin. And you need to let go. And he saw it, and he received Christ. But that was the thing with Charles Finney. When he would preach, people would get convicted. They would get convicted, and they would cry out for God. They broke down on their knees and cried out for God. So, he had an easy time of it. But anyway, the Lord put on my heart that we need to be walking in a supernatural walk every day of our lives. And the only way to do that is by the Holy Spirit. And I just want to read a scripture from Galatians. It's Galatians chapter 3. And it's, where is the verse? Verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that, in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit. See, there's a progression there, that we would receive the blessing of Abraham, that we would receive. Abraham is synonymous with righteousness. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. We when we believe God, when we believe in Jesus through faith, we become righteous. But, we get saved, through Jesus Christ. But there's more. And that's the message that I want to bring forth today. There's more than just salvation. Now, that might sound a little unbalanced, but there is more, because God saved us for a purpose. And the purpose is that we would be vessels, that we would be the temple of the Holy Ghost, that we would be the people of God who would bring the light of God everywhere we go, and that miracles and signs and wonders and the power of God would break out everywhere we go. Some people do it in a quiet kind of way. Some people are louder, and like Storm and Norman over here. He makes a lot of noise when he goes somewhere, but God uses him, right? But, I'm kind of a lot more like a quiet kind of person. But I know that it's the Holy Spirit that does everything. You can do it whether you're shouting or whether you're a quiet person, or whether you're, a little crazy like some people. I won't point out anybody. Okay, all right. You want to be crazy for God, Actually, You know, God uses the craziest people. He does. You wonder, God, what are you thinking? You know. I remember, when we were saved first. We used to, we were living down in the Bronx, and the Christians down there said, "You got to come to this meeting." It was a meeting of Catherine Kuhlman. Some of you may know who she is. Some of you may not. And we said, "Okay, we'll go." Catherine Kuhlman. It was a woman who had probably one of the greatest ministries of the Holy Spirit that we've ever seen, or perhaps, at least in our lifetime. And we kind of, okay, we were kind of casual about it. Okay, we'll go because they want us to go. But when we got down to Manhattan, it was meeting in the Americana Hotel in Manhattan. We have a big ballroom, you know. And so we got there in the car, and there's ambulances outside the place, all kinds of ambulances. What's going on, you know? And they said, that's people bringing their sick to get healed. We're like, wow. We were like, this is going to be interesting. And so, but, you know, one thing I want to say about Catherine Kuhlman, as Pastor Vic was saying earlier, he talked about friendship, you know, that. One thing that Catherine Kuhlman always said, and she spoke about, when she spoke about the Holy Spirit, she said, "My friend, the Holy Spirit. My friend. She says, "All I have to do," she says, "we're so close, all I have to do is talk about him, and miracles start happening all over the place." And you know what? As she did this, I mean, talk about people, well, like, what's his name? that clip that you showed the other day of the counseling. Huh? Oh, Bob Newhart. Yeah. He says, you know, remember he said, how did it go, Mary? Stop it, you kook. God uses kooky people sometimes. Just a thought, anyway. Catherine Kuhlman, all right, so she comes out in this white dress like she's getting married. And we're like, oh, look at this. You know, and her hair's flowing and she's, you know, dancing around. And this is the way she was, you know. But, you know, she talked about the Holy Spirit as her friend. And she said it over and over and over. And as soon as she started to talk about him, you know, major miracles started happening. Like big cancer started dropping off people. And people were getting healed. Demonic spirits were coming out of people. You know, they started screaming and shouting, and people were looking around. We didn't know what to make of this. You know, people were looking around. I saw people leave because somebody was screaming because some big spirit was coming out of them. But she wasn't like even ministering personally to anybody. She was just talking about her friend, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, God is so awesome, is right. So, you know, I just want to say about, let me get back to that scripture again. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so, and that's, you know, how we became righteous. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree," in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, that's Abraham, again, is synonymous with righteousness. We became righteous in Jesus. And that blessing of Abraham, that righteous blessing, came upon us. And in Ephesians, it says he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. We have been raised up with Christ, and we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And, you know, this is what we're talking about. This is the life that God wants us to live as Christians, as though we are sitting at the throne of God with Christ. And guess what? Jesus is up there. I guess we're up there with him too. You know, things in the spirit are not always like the things on earth. It's not like, you know, if it's this, it has to be that, or if it's that. it can be this and that, you know, even though they may be opposites, like, you know, there's three persons, but there's only one God, you know. Our minds can't understand that, but it's true in the Spirit, and we know that it's true. But we're seated with Christ up there. But look, Christ is up there, but he's also now, he's the person of God who's in us. The scripture talks about the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Christ is up there by the throne. How is he in you? The Holy Spirit. That's it. That's the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit in you then really is not an option, is it? It's not an option, because that's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why he died, to make us righteous like Abraham by faith, so that the Holy Spirit could come and dwell in us. You know that before Jesus died on the cross, nobody ever had the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Nobody. Because they were sinful. We were sinful. We all inherited that sinful nature of Adam and Eve. You couldn't have the Holy Spirit until Jesus died on the cross. And then we could have the Holy Spirit, because we were made holy. We were made pure. We were made perfect in his sight. We were made, we were given the righteousness of Jesus, because he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I like to say, I don't like to say I am the righteousness of God. I like to say I have become the righteousness of God, because it acknowledges I wasn't always that way. I have become the righteousness of God. So I am fit then to be a vessel for the Holy Spirit. So let's see what else we have here. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So he did all this for that very purpose, that we would have that promise by faith. By faith, we have that promise. And then Jesus said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, wait for the promise of the Father. The promise. It's not just, I mean, I'm sure there's a, how many promises of God? Somebody used to say 8,888 or something. But this is the promise of God. The promise of God is the Holy Spirit. It's not an option, folks. It's he wants us to have it. He died on the cross that we could have the Holy Spirit, that we could walk in the power and the authority that we have. While we're walking here on earth, we are also seated up in on the throne of God with him. Yeah, that's cool. We're here and we're there. But we need to look, we have to start developing that kind of a mentality in order to be able to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to see the things that are not seen with the natural eye. Paul said, I pray that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. So, you know, eyes of our heart, not these eyes. The eyes of our heart. When I pray that prayer, and I say, you know, that the eyes of my heart would be enlightened. And then I add a little bit in there myself, so that I could be filled with the light of God. The light of God. You know, God dwells in unapproachable light. And he is light. And he is life. And so we need to get that light. You know, you could be in a dark room and you could have your eyes wide open. You can't see anything. Yeah. And that's the way our spirit is too. Our spirit needs the light of God. And that scripture is telling us that. That the eyes of our heart would be enlightened so that we might know what is the hope of his calling. This is it, guys. This is the hope of his calling, that you would be a vessel for the Holy Spirit. That's it. I remember praying this prayer. I was like, what is the hope of his calling? What do they mean by that? And it kind of gradually came to me. I guess the Holy Spirit revealed it to me because I didn't come up with it. But that's it. It's the Holy Spirit is the hope of His calling, that we could be vessels for His glory and His honor. And it's just such a wonderful, wonderful thing. But, you know, we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and some of us have a great experience. Some of us, you know, it's not that great. It's all right. We receive it. But you receive it by faith. It's not the experience you have. But a lot of times, you know, then we go on with our lives, and it was just something that happened 5 years ago and doesn't have much relevance in our lives today. And I'm not saying it should be like that. I'm saying that happens sometimes, but it shouldn't be like that. Your baptism in the Holy Spirit is an introduction to a new walk with God. It's you know, when I look at that first chapter of Acts, I say, this is where the kingdom of God came to earth. Jesus came. There was a preacher. What was his name? He was from Nassau, Bahamas. He died in a plane crash just recently. Yeah, Miles Monroe. And one of his big things was explaining that Jesus came for the purpose of building a colony on earth, just like the colonies, you know, from England and all that. But he wanted to build a colony on earth for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God existed already in heaven, but now there was no kingdom of God on earth because Adam had sinned and all of humanity had fallen into that with him. And so Jesus came to build a colony of the kingdom of God. And it's a really an interesting concept in the way he put it, you know. So that was his big teaching about building the colony. But that's what we're called to. We're called to building that kingdom of God here on earth. And that first chapter of Acts is where the Holy Spirit came. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, there's no kingdom of God on earth. There isn't. That's it. That's when the kingdom of God was introduced to the earth, when the power of God came and filled them. And Jesus said, wait for what what the Father had promised. And you will receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It's the power of God to walk and to build the kingdom of God. We are all called to be builders of the kingdom of God. I want to ask you, just yourself, don't answer this question out loud, but if God stood before, or Jesus said, stood before you, would you be called a builder of the kingdom of God? Would you? Are you a builder of the kingdom of God? Do you have that consciousness that that's your calling, to build the kingdom of God? And the kingdom of God is where? In people's hearts, right? Where people, a kingdom is a system of power and authority. Power and authority. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I believe the rod and the staff is the power and authority that we have in Christ. We have that power and authority in Christ through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is power, and the authority is in the name of Jesus. We can command the devil. You know, the devil's just a sideshow. He wants to make a big deal out of who he is. He's just a little sideshow. We were praying for somebody for deliverance recently, and this person was so overcome with the devil, you know, and what all the devil's been doing to her, and it was just overwhelming. If it was up to me, I was like, what do we do now? But I do know we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit tells me to wait. Let them talk for a while, and you'll begin to see. Anyway, the Lord showed me like a vision of the devil. He's there banging pots together, making loud noises. And she's talking how the devil is actually physically on her and squeezing her and squeezing her legs and horrible stuff, you know, and growling in her house at night and all this kind of stuff. Now, I don't mean to glorify the devil here, because I'd be doing what she was doing. but that's what the devil wants. And the Lord showed us that the more she talked about the devil, the worse the pain and the bondage became. And so we began to show her, you need to stop doing this. You're your worst enemy. You're given the power to the enemy. Start talking about God. Start talking about Jesus. Start looking in the scripture. And you know what? It didn't take long till the stuff started to weaken. It got weaker and weaker and weaker on her. And so, you know, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants your attention, because that gives glory to him. But our calling in building the kingdom of God is to teach people that our attention needs to be on the Lord Jesus as the Holy Spirit reveals them. And there's nothing that we can't do, because the scripture says if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you don't need to be a Charles Finney or a Catherine Kuhlman. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will speak to this mountain, you will tell it to move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. It's faith. It's faith. It's all about faith. And you know, people think, you know, we gotta fight the devil with all this and that and the other. No, we don't. Like I said, he's just a sideshow. But the real show is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. And that's why we should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's why we shouldn't let, you know, our baptism in the Holy Spirit just kind of fade from our memory. You know, we need to be renewed in that. We need, there's a scripture that says, what does it say? You don't know what it says. Because I can't tell you what I've said. give me a second or two. It'll come to me. Well, I'll say another one though. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It is good. Here it is. It's coming. It is good. You see, yeah, it's coming. Takes a little time. It is good to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Yeah, that's our job, you know, to declare his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness by night. I do that in my prayer time with the Lord in the morning. I kind of don't do as well at night, but I kind of do the night stuff in the morning too. a little unorthodox, but you know, I pray in the morning and I remind myself of the grace of God, you know, and the inheritance that I have. The inheritance really is the Holy Spirit, the treasure. He's the great treasure of God, is the Holy Spirit in you, the riches of the glory. Just think of those words, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He's in you, George. He's in you. Yeah. And it's rich and it's glorious and it's powerful. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, which is Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you. Yes, that's it. So we need to develop that consciousness. And so in the morning, we pray, you know, I begin to thank the Lord for, you know, the blessings of this day. It's good to me for me to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praise to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. The loving kindness of the Lord. So look, you know, we used to, I know you probably, a lot of you used to remember, we used to pray the prayer of Jabez, yeah. And we would ask God to bless us. We would ask God to bless us. And it was a really good thing to do. And that's what this is talking about, but to know that we have the blessing. It's a little different just pleading for the blessing, but we have it already. Faith says we already have it. So in the morning, we give him thanks for the blessings of this day, what's going to happen this day. We don't know it yet. It hasn't been revealed to us. But God is going to be with us, and we're going to walk with the Holy Spirit. We're going to be builders of the kingdom of God. And so we begin to pray that, and maybe even, you know, getting your mind renewed in a sense, or becoming more aware, or conscious, bringing to consciousness the fact of who you are, that you've been raised up with him and you're seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ. And he reconciled us in his fleshly body through death in order to present us before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. That's who we are. We're holy and blameless and beyond reproach. That's who you are. And that you are so perfect in his sight that you are able to be a vessel of honor for the Holy Spirit. And that his power is in you. And so what I just sum up by saying, you know, God wants us to be aware, to have that awareness, to lift up our vision. You know, it tells us so often in the scripture, lift up your heads. You know, lift up your head. You know, and a lot of times we just think it's, you know, because Jesus is coming back, you know. But this is what he's saying, lift up your head. Lift it up and lift up your vision so you can see who you really are in him and what you're called to do, that you are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and nothing shall be impossible for you. And so get hold of that baptism in the Holy Spirit that you had, that you were prayed for. If you weren't, then you can be prayed for today. But get hold of it and remind yourself of who you are in Christ and who this wonderful, wonderful friend, Holy Spirit, is inside of you. Every day, do it. And do it, you know, as you think of that prayer, you know, that I give thanks to him and in the morning and praise him in the night, you know, at night. Remember that it's the Holy Spirit in you. And the scripture says, you know, from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So look, we're vessels to bring glory to him. So we got this great inheritance, you know, and it was through him, through our Lord Jesus, and it goes back to him with glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving. That's why we need to do that in the morning. That's why we need to do it again at night for what he did that day, and in the morning for what he's going to do, because we are the righteousness of God in him. So delight in the Holy Spirit. Delight in the Holy Spirit, because he is the presence of God. He is the person of God who is with us everywhere we go. Our good friend, our companion, the Spirit of the living God. He was the presence of God behind the veil in the temple before Jesus went to the cross and rent that veil. And now Jesus went to rent the veil, right? So that the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, come out and be in us. How can you say, this is an option I don't really care about? You know, I don't need the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus went to the cross for this, so that the veil could be rent and that you could have the Holy Spirit. It's not an option. Yeah. That's the same Holy Spirit who was in the Ark of the Covenant. And when the Philistines captured the ark, and like in Raiders of the Lost Ark, they wanted to take a peek inside. Peek-a-boo! Can you imagine? Peek-a-boo, God! Look at you in the box! It wasn't really like that. the scripture tells us that when they opened that thing, 50,070 men died that day because he is holy. He's holy. He's holy. And we, back then, were not. The people were not. But you are. That's the same Holy Spirit who's in you today. I mean, we underestimate him so badly. We, folks, we have a long way to travel. I know I have a long way to travel to get a hold of that awesome holiness of God that's in us, that presence of God and the power of his Spirit in us. We have a long way to go. And this is really important. Don't think we're there, you know. Like when we get on a plateau and we think, okay, all right, you know, I go to a spirit-filled church, you know, we have good services and all that, and, you know, and life goes on, and, you know, someday I'll die and go be with the Lord. Okay. That's all true. But really, we have a life to live now. And we're going to take with us what we do with his Holy Spirit. We're going to take that into eternity with us. You know, it's not just for this life, but we have this life to explore the unfathomable riches of Christ. Do you ever think of that word, the unfathomable riches of Christ? They're unfathomable. You cannot come to the end of it. It's so deep. We can learn and drink and drink and drink and drink and learn more and more and more and more. It never ends, you know? So pay attention. What's that scripture about the time? Pay attention to the time that you have here on earth to learn more of the riches of his glory and to come into a greater knowledge of the holiness of God and who he is, who this is who's inside of us today. Amen? We should do that. We should do that. That should be the rest of our lives, is exploring the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Amen. So let's pray on, and I'm right on time. I like that when we're on time. But if you'd like prayer, even for a stirring or a renewal of the Holy Spirit in you, Pastor Vic will be here, and any of the other ministers who would like to pray, we can do that. But let's pray now. The Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord God. Thank you for your Spirit, Lord God. We are so grateful for the honor. We have been counted worthy because of what Jesus has done, for the honor of being a vessel for your Holy Spirit. We are the holy temple of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we just ask today that you would, for each one of us, that you would raise our awareness, our consciousness of who it is that's in us, and that we are indeed seated in with Christ in the heavenlies. Lord God, that we are supernatural persons, that we're living a supernatural life, and that we will never just settle for a natural life, Lord God, because you have called us. You've called us out of this world for this very purpose. And we're so grateful for your Holy Spirit. We give you thanks in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Amen. So if anybody wants prayer for touch of the Holy Spirit or whatever, Mary and Pastor Vic and Dee, and anybody else wants to pray? All right, came out a little better.